point is, if you're doing something to please Krishna, even if you don't know really what you're doing in that, let's say like somebody comes to the temple and you ask them, okay, hey, help clean here and this. They don't really understand cleaning and all that, but they push the broom around and help you pick up stuff and take it out. They're going to get devotional benefits. So that's the perfection of bhakti, is that despite us being total fools, it still works. Now, if you actually understand this, then that scientific knowledge, then you can cooperate better and do things on a larger scale. So if we're just sitting under, you know, under a tree or in a cave and all that, then you understand, don't understand, you're going to be chanting all day. So what does it matter? You know, as long as you understand what your hand is and your feet is, so that you put your hand in your bead bag instead of your foot, you know, like that, then you're going to be okay, you know, like that. You chant with your mouth instead of chanting like Ace Ventura does or something. So that way it'll work. But if we're as Ghosti Anandis, then you're going to be doing something very grand. That's the whole idea of the mission, is do something grand. And so Srila Prabhupada wanted something grand to be done. We see with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then they approach this contemporary environment and try and spread the movement through that, since Lord Chaitanya says in every town and village. So yes. So now the point comes down is then by knowing what your physical psychological nature is, it just means you're more in tune with what you have to work with, and so therefore you apply it accordingly. Right? So that's the whole purpose that you're doing there. Now, to do that means to actually understand your psychological physical nature and be able to use it in Krishna consciousness. Then there's a few things that are important, right? Because the mind has its business of accepting or rejecting. The intelligence has its business of, you know, pointing out what's the similarity between things and the difference between things. And the ego then is your identity, right? So the identity is necessary, because if you can't identify who you are as Patra in time, place, and circumstance, right, or Kaladesh Patra, then you can't understand actually how you're involved. Right? If you don't know who you are, if you think you're the chair, then now how does it work? Do you go under the chair and this chair is on top, or do you sit next to it? You know, I mean, how does it work? You have to know who you are, right? So then in the Krishna book, the Prabhupada explained, false ego, which is the demarcation between the spiritual and material existence. So now, just because you know I am a Brahman, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya, I'm a Shudra, but the point is that if you don't understand the difference between false ego and real ego, that I'm the servant of the Lord, the servant of the servant of the Lord, then it will be material, as we have and we see around us, that the Varnashram system is being used in some, you know, in many areas, but it's because it's done with false ego instead of real ego, therefore it just creates problems. Means if they use it properly, yes, materially it could have some advantage, but we see is that it's not being used properly, and so it just creates problems. So for devotees, why create problems? It's already a problem being in the material world. So therefore, one has to understand it. To understand this, it's a servant, how to engage the mind and senses in body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. That's the only purpose of understanding it. Right? Because to function in the modern society, you don't understand it, you know, you still get some place and you can do something, because it's just based on false ego. So that means you have to see how this will be used in Krishna's service. So that means it's not a matter of prestige. It's not a matter of, you know, authority, or, you know, that I'm going to be in control, or I'm going to enjoy better, any of these kind of things. So in other words, all the aspects of karma and jnana have to be thrown out, because we're dealing with Daiva Varnashram. Daiva Varnashram means the transcendental position of engaging the senses in the Lord's service is bhakti. So that means, if it's bhakti, that means it's free from karma and jnana. That means bhakti is already free from karma and jnana. It's us who have to be free from karma and jnana. So, because the position of Brahman, you can use that for Krishna or not. You know? So that's the whole thing. It's just a matter of why is being done. Okay. So that's the first step. is to appreciate that it has to be seen in the context of bhakti. It's not just, okay, you know, we want to organize things, and so we want to get efficient, who's who, and this guy's this, and that guy's that, and all these things like that, and okay, now he does this, and he does that, and, you know, these kind of so-called managerial arrangements, then basically are not that useful in Krishna consciousness. Because then it will be, oh, that stigma, oh, he's this, so he can't do this, he can't do that. And because I'm here, I can do this, and I can do that, and I'm so special, and look at me, and hey, mommy, you know, aren't I doing great? You know, all that kind of stuff. So that's what you have to avoid. Otherwise, it will fail miserably, guaranteed. Right? They've tried it in so many other places, you know, to try to establish, they always talk about it, and then they go, and okay, so you're this, and you're that, and all these things, and it never works. I mean, just literally never works. So if you want to make it work, that means the potency, purity is the force, right? You know, it has to be based on Shastra. It has to be about its connection with the preaching movement, as I said before, the Goshti Anandi, like that. You know, it has to be, you know, based on Prabhupada's books, all these things. And the purity is what will make it work. So purity in trying to please Krishna. If it's just another way to somehow or another make yourself special, then, you know, good luck. So now if we're going to look at the Varnashram system, so then the first thing we have to look at is, well, what are these positions? It has eight positions. What are they for? What do they actually do? How do you identify them? So we see that Srila Prabhupada, brahmachari means menial servant. He also says student. So that means menial servant means he's just doing what needs to be done. He just does what needs to be done. And he's studying, trying to understand Krishna consciousness and all that. So he's not a full-time student that he doesn't do service like we see in the modern academy. And he's not just doing menial service and not doing any study. It's the combination of both, which we're not used to. We're used to is that if you're studying, you don't do anything else. I've seen it. You go to the local Hindu houses, and when it's exams, a kid doesn't do anything. He can go to bed whatever time he wants. He gets up. Whenever he does get up, his mom's right there with things to eat. Everyone's asking if he's okay. He's got his own little room. He's studying and not all day, and that's all he does. And that's it. And so then we may get that idea. Yes, I'm studying, so you know I have to have my own room, my own this and all that. Brahmachari means he can sit down in the brahmachari ashram in the middle of all the brahmacharis and study. That's a brahmachari. If he has to be in his own little room and all that, and otherwise he can't study and all that, that's not a brahmachari. It might be a vanaprastha at best, but good chance it's more of a grihastha. Unmarried, of course. But whatever. So that means he does the work when it's time to work, he studies when it's time to study, he does a sadhana. That's a brahmachari. So this whole thing of, well, you know, here's this, and who's senior, and I'm in charge, and who's this, and why we can't get along, that's not brahmacharya. Bachelor, maybe, but not brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is a menial servant. That's his identity. Remember we mentioned before about false ego? So the real ego means I'm the servant of Krishna, and the brahmacharya ashram is an opportunity for me to very nicely, obviously, practice being a servant and trying to know about Krishna. So he's just engaging his senses in a limited form, just within the context of the temple and the preaching activities. So it makes life very easy. He's dealing with the direct activities of devotional service, right? So that's the advantage of the ashram, is that when Krishna says that you should understand that he is everything, whatever is of value is him, otherwise it's illusion, and that he himself as a person is separate from everything, even though everything expands from him, it's him, but he as a person is separate, his personality. So at all times, all places, all circumstances, directly and indirectly, you should understand this fact. So brahmacharya is vanaprastha sannyasa, it's more about the direct. Grihastha then means then you're dealing with the direct, but you're dealing with a lot of indirect. Because the house is yours, the money's yours, the family's yours, you know, all the different things are yours, you're calling the shots of what I do, you know, and all this, you know, all that kind of jazz. And that's one of the ideas of the grihastha. You know, I'm in the brahmachari ashram, so restricted, the temple commander tells me what to do, and this, I want to be free and do whatever I want, So I go out and I get married, and now I get a new temple commander that just happens to have long hair and spends a lot of time combing it. Like that. And that temple commander is 9 times more strict than the temple commander in the temple. Hey, that's Maya. That we don't understand what we're dealing with. We think I'm independent. You're never independent. We're the soul. You're either servant of Krishna or servant of the senses. That's all. So the brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyas, then because of that understanding, or at least intellectual understanding that I'm servant of Krishna, they can engage in that way. Though the upakarvana brahmachari does that as training, then he goes into, because there's still some desire there, he goes into the grihastha ashram, but he's still trying to control the senses. That's why they're called grihastha brahmacharis. Because he engages this wider range of activities that aren't there in the brahmachari ashram. You know, his occupation, his vocation, all the different things that he does, all that in Krishna's service. That's why he has to have knowledge. So if a brahmachari just does a menial service, doesn't have the knowledge, how will he understand how to be a grihastha? Same time as how will he be a grihastha if he can't do menial service? Because you become servant of the family. Like this, yeah, I'm independent. That means it's said like that so you feel good. Ladies tell you and puff you up so that you know, that you feel good about yourself, so you work like an ass. But the whole point is that no, you are servant. That is the nature of the jiva. You're not going to get away from that. That's why we say, why not take up the real ego and understand that and save yourself some trouble? So then the ego that's there, then we have to see I'm servant of Krishna. Therefore, now I'm engaged. Before I engaged in a narrower range of activities, but more direct activities, just hearing, chanting, doing temple service, preaching. Now I have those in my life, but I've added into it this wider range of indirect activities, you know, of family life and the social and all these things that go along with it. So, but now I still see it in connection with Krishna, because Krishna is what I still value in these things, right? Means the companionship of the wife, but the point is Krishna, companionship comes from him. It's coming through the medium of the wife. But that companionship that you find in the wife that's attractive, that's still Krishna. But the living entity that you're interacting with gets the credit for applying that in that. So it's not, oh, it's just Krishna, so I don't care. Or it's the wife. No, it's you have to balance. You know, the wifeness comes from Krishna. But at the same time, there's a living entity there that's taking up those duties and those roles. And so therefore, then following that, then you're able to see that in connecting with Krishna, it's indirect, because it's not directly Krishna, but it's Krishna's energy. So then you see it connection to Krishna. You maintain your Krishna consciousness. Then, so grihastha life means engaging, you know, your senses and facilities in the Krishna's service, right? Because you have to do it now. There's not someone telling you what to do. Of course, the wife is telling you what to do, but we won't bring that up. So then, vanaprastha, then that means, so that's engaging the senses. Vanaprastha means how to, again, bring the restriction of the senses back more focused on the direct activities. And, you know, so it's renunciation is the main thing of vanaprastha. This is from Manu. Renunciation. So that means it's still, you know, grihastha is yours, and then you act to gain that. Then you get the results, then you give it to Krishna. So that's renunciation. Sannyas means it's Krishna's from the beginning. So the brahmacharis and the sannyasis are acting in that capacity. Vanaprasas are then the point where you switch from renunciation to sannyas, that I'm doing this to please Krishna directly. It's all Krishna. I'm making money. It's only Krishna's money. Right? You may have some dealing with it, control with it, but it's still all for Krishna. And so then one has to be very honest and straightforward in these things to make that switch. Otherwise, yeah, you can tell yourself, yeah, I'm fabulous, aren't I great? And, you know, and you'll find a few friends who will also tell you that. And then there's reality. Right? So vanaprastha is for pulling the senses back in to a more direct lifestyle and only maintaining the indirect how much is necessary. Right, because the brahmachari is just taken care of by the temple. Vanaprastha is generally they take care of themselves. So only how much you need to maintain. You're not trying to expand and take over the world and everything. Then sannyas is indifference. Indifference meaning means you're not worried about material gain, but you're also, if it does come, you'll use it in Krishna service. So vanaprastha, you're trying to actually reduce and not get involved. Sannyas means it's indifference. If it comes, you use it. If it doesn't come, you're fine. You know, you're not interested in material things. You're only interested in spiritual. You know, and those who are material, you're not interested in them. So it's indifference is the prominent quality. Of course, they're renounced. Because they're not dealing with much, but so is the brahmachari. So is a properly situated vanaprastha, right? And the grihastha also only engages how much they need of their nature, Krishna said. Okay, so that takes care of that side. Then, you know, so the sannyas has that freedom to just be involved in direct activities like the brahmachari, but not worry about any of the other activities. So he's like the brahmachari now in that, you know, he's self-directed. Just like the vanaprastha is self-directed, but trying to come towards that. Grihastha is self-directed, but the brahmachari is not. Okay, then we look at the varnas. So the Brahman means he studies, he teaches. That's the essence of a Brahman. If you have any other idea about it, then you have the wrong idea. Right. This is Manu. Manu then mentions what's the essence of each position. And only from starting from that, then you can add in anything else. And if you start from somewhere else, you will be wrong. You will fail. So studying and teaching, that's what they do. Right. And so that means then they apply that. That's the essence. So they've studied, they may be doing pujari work, they may be doing preaching, but if you don't study, how do you preach? If you haven't studied, how do you do puja? If you haven't studied, how do you do a yajna? Right? If you haven't studied, how do you organize things to, you know, organize the Sankirtan or the temple or everything like that? Point is studying and teaching is the essence, not management. Shall I repeat that? Not management. Right? We use management. It's a very useful tool, just like a knife is very useful to cut up potatoes. But this idea that management is the pinnacle of perfection of society, this is a bogus nonsense that's been induced by Vaishyas who are attached to their position. As we look in history in the West, Vaishyas always try to come up and sit on the head. Right? They're called in the West, they're called bourgeois. So we see in France, then the bourgeois comes up, they get money in that, they even have more money than the nobility, so they try to take over. And that's what they did. They had the revolution and all that, and now you see the mess that we're in. So that's it. As soon as Vaishyas try to take control of everything, money is the control, then that's it. Because they're not administrators, because as we will point out, they just manage to get money. They call it management, but all they're doing is managing to make profit. Right? So the Brahma, he manages to study and teach. He organizes the classes, the preaching, the this, the deity worship, the Sankirtan, the temple. But it's about Krishna consciousness. Right? So we have to be very clear that there's a vast difference between management and administration. Administration is what defines a Kshatriya. Management, everybody does. Everybody. Even the squirrel manages to go out, find something, bury it in the ground, and then come back later when it's cold and dig it up. So they all manage. Everybody manages. You know, the birds manage to make a nest. They manage to find a mate. They manage to you know, raise their offspring and all that and feed them. You know, it's work. They manage it. And it's managed. You know, one will be sitting on the eggs, the other will be out about, you know, going around getting something to eat, and then they switch after so many hours. That's management. So somehow or another, management's been elevated on this pedestal as like the pinnacle of perfection, and that if you have that's what's going to make ISKCON work. I'm sorry. It's not. In the last 25 years that this has been the idea, I have not seen it work. I have not seen it happen. Krishna consciousness being the center, that will make things work. And then those who have management skills, administrative skills, brahminical, they step forward, do their best for Krishna, and then everything works perfectly. So one has to understand is that this kind of approach is overrated, because a lot of times our approach to varnashram is just how to manage things. Okay. And it's not a problem, because that's the kshatriya duty, is to see that varnashram is going nicely. So many people leaving. Does that mean I've upset people? Okay. Okay. So now, kshatriya means he protects the people, the citizens. That's the core point. Not that he fights, he does, you know, diplomacy, no. He protects the citizens. That's the core element of the kshatriya. The Vaishya's core element is he makes money, he gives in charity, he pays his taxes, he takes care of his assistants. That's his business. And the Shudra, his business is whatever is his ability, he uses that in the service of those who are directing society. Because the Brahma, Kshatriya, the Vaishyas are the leaders of society, in that the educational, the administrative, and the economic areas are what need the leadership. And then you need to support that. So that is going on. So now, if we understand that these are the core principles, then when we start to look at what is our nature, then it starts to work a little bit better. Otherwise, if we take it, you know, the Brahman's on the top, but the Kshatriya is there, he actually controls everything, but the Brahman's on, he's higher than him, but you can't do anything without the money, and so then the Vaishya, you know, he comes out supreme. So, you know, therefore, do we have to follow Varnashram? Because, you know, and then they always have to follow standards. The Shudra kind of does whatever he wants and no one complains, because he can't go lower than the Shudra. So then, therefore, wouldn't it be that emotionally I do whatever I want like a Shudra? I have all the money, therefore I control everything, and I am in control like the Kshatriya, and I have the best knowledge because I got all the money and everything like that. And, you know, like that. And so I don't have the responsibility like the Brahmachari. I have all the facility for sense gratification like the Grihastha. I, as a Vanaprastha, then I kind of have that senior amongst the Grihasthas. And, you know, because we're devotees and we're preaching and we're not this body, Prabhu. So therefore, like the sannyasi, I have all, you know, recognition and authority. Now, wouldn't that be perfect? So that's the difficulty, is that we just want to pick and choose what we want from each position, when actually varnashram means to perform your duties for Krishna. So in performing your duties, that means if I have a duty towards Krishna, then I have to do that. That means I have to engage my nature. And that's why Krishna says, better to do your duty imperfectly than another's perfectly. Because when we say another, you could say, oh, but it's being done perfectly. That means externally it's done perfectly, but the nature, the mentality is wrong. Because you can see, so many people have the nature they can do something, but then they are unable to, on the mental platform and emotional platform, be satisfied, either themselves or to others. So it's not the knowledge and skill, it's the mentality. So that's why guna and karma are together. Nowadays, it's just you learn karma, you don't learn guna. You're a professional because you know karma. You don't know guna. So if you can do the work, you're accepted in that position. But in actuality, we see that's why everybody hates middle management, because they have the karma. They know the tech, but they don't have the guna. Right? That means the boss may not harass everybody, but the middle management will, because they're not theirs. They're just doing their job. Well, the boss, he has to take care of his people. Therefore, he won't harass them. If he does, of course, he's a bad businessman. But the middle management, because they're Shudras, right? Because they're hired by the guy just to work for him on a higher level. And so, therefore, they just see their own work and that's it. So that's the difficulty, is this. Nowadays, this professional is so narrow, I just do my own thing and don't care about anybody else. So you can't have varnashram that way. Hence the, oh, but you know, who's in charge and who's got the authority and this and that. So it always goes up. So yes, bhakti is the highest. Then you have knowledge, right? If we're talking just varnashram aspect. Knowledge. Then you have administration, right? Then you have the economics, the money, and then you have the support. So, but the point is here, is Bhakti is about how all that engages in Krishna service. The knowledge is then how that's technically done, but they don't actually control the thing. That's done by the Kshatriya. And the Vaishyas, they don't control everything because they got the money, because otherwise it's the idea, I collected the money, therefore I should be saying how it's used. No. Did you collect it for Krishna, or you collected it for your own prestige? Or mixed, yeah. But the point is that if they're qualified, then great. But just because they made the money, there's not a qualification for how to spend money or how to use it in Krishna's service. You know? That's not how it works. You know how to make money. Doesn't mean you know how to spend money. Otherwise, there's so many people who make money and don't know how to spend it. They spend it on stupid stuff. Like you go into these, you know, well-situated houses. I don't know if it's like this anymore, but I remember seeing it before. You go around the houses, and there'd be this one shelf, you know, in the, you know, kind of like wherever they host people and all that. One shelf of empty hard liquor bottles. You know, the whiskey and the all the different things that are, not wine, just, you know, it has to be the hard stuff. Empty. That means they've drunk them, but they want to show everybody how we've drunk these things. And they're very expensive, so everyone, ooh, these guys are, you know, these guys are rich. You know? So, we have to understand is that it's not, it's just a matter of the certain, look at Yudhishthira Maharaj, how humble he was. Karna would not fight with Yudhishthira Maharaj because he considered he was a Brahmin, not a Kshatriya, so he would not fight with him. He would fight with Arjuna or Bhima, no problem, but he would not fight with Yudhishthira. Like that. So the point is that Kshatriyas have that humility. We see that in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Shibi, Maharaj Nimi, all these, that they all have that submission to those who have more devotion or more understanding themselves. They try to bring their life in line with that and make their management decisions on that based on that. Okay? So, these are, you could say, the core things to understand how to understand the nature. Then it's a matter of looking at things. Okay, brahmacharya, that everybody should go through, because by doing that, then you become properly situated. Prabhupada says good first-class brahmacharya makes a first-class grihastha, right? Second-class brahmacharya, second-class grihastha. Tenth-class brahmacharya, tenth-class grihastha. Why? Because then one is controlled in the senses. One knows, there's six things that Manu explains is the training of the brahmacharis. So the first is respect. If you don't have respect, then you won't progress in any field. Without respect, you can't do anything. You can't function. Because if you don't respect even the tools you're working with or the people you're working with or the goals that you want to get, you can't function. The first thing is respect. Right. Second thing is that things are based on the Shastra. You study the Shastra. So if it doesn't have a Shastric base, it's not so important. Third thing is that then you have a service attitude, that you're willing to do service. Not that you have to do and I don't want to do, I'm doing it, but I don't want to do it. You actually are comfortable doing that service. The fourth is you actually apply that practically and do service. The fifth is that you control the senses. So they're only engaged how they need to be in the Lord's service. And the sixth one is one understands one's position and therefore what's the appropriate way to behave and dress in that particular environment. So you're cleaning, you put on your gumsha, you're going out preaching, you put on your cleanest and nicest clothes, wear them properly, you know, all these things. You can understand what to do when. And if you have these six, then you can be a grihastha, you can be a vanaprastha, you can be a sannyas. But if you don't have these, you'll be bad at all of them. Right, because as a grihastha, if you don't have respect for the environment, for your things, for your wife, for your kids, you can't function. If you don't base things on shastra, you will be lost. If you don't have the ability to function and work, you're lazy, then what woman will be satisfied? How you'll take care of anything? If you're not working and doing something, you won't get anything accomplished. If you don't control the senses, you can't actually be a good grihastha, because if you have uncontrolled senses, it will bite you. So you have the fidelity to the wife, you have, you know, how you, what you do at what times, as you is, you're working very hard, you can't just go out and enjoy yourself, you can't just spend all the money, you have to invest it. So you have to control, and you have to know how to dress for the particular kind of circumstances. That's why you see for most men, the wife has to tell them how to dress. You know, because they don't know. You know, I mean, it's fine if she's giving her preferences of how she likes her, you know, the family to dress. That's fine. But, you know, he knows dress. So, okay, she'd rather have it like this than this. Okay, that's fine. But if he doesn't know at all, you think, why is she always telling me, you know, I'd like to pick out my own shirt for once. And this is a bad grihastha. Why? Because he was a bad brahmachari. He doesn't know how to dress. You know. So, without that, then you can't. Then we said before, vanaprasas is pulling these things in. You know, it's now going more to the direct activities of respect to the Vaishnavs and Shastra, based on studying and teaching again Shastra. Because we see the brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, and brahminical position in the ashvarnas. These four, these are brahminical, directly. Right? And so, then we see, So we see it takes up half of what's there. And then Kshatriya is one part, Vaishya is one part, Shudra is one part. And the Grihastha means then they're of those four. Right? Because Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, you don't really identify them by being a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It means you might see tendencies that they work in this area or that area. So you give them those things. It's the Grihastha that they make their occupation. So you're called a Brahman because of your occupation. But a brahmacharya is vanaprastha sannyasi, there's no need of that. So for us, it's about the spiritual development, the development of the mode of goodness, so it works very nicely. So what we see is that the brahmacharya is the basis, and if that's there to the degree it's there, then that degree, then we have the grihastha ashram working nicely. Then if grihastha ashram works nicely, then we can be a good vanaprastha. Because vanaprastha means you're pulling back the senses, not, I'm frustrated with this wife and kids and all that, so I put on orange, I'm renounced, I moved to Vrindavan and I'm there, and you know, and all that. And then 10 years later, you see him in the rickshaw going by with some Russian, you know, brahmacharini. Hey, what has happened then? You know, so it was is that, you know, okay, this woman's bad, so all women are bad, this and that. But, oh, this woman's nice. It's got to be, no, I don't need the sensual, support of women like that. The wife is there, they've been a companion all the way through, so together they're in Krishna consciousness as vanaprasthas, that's fine. But it's not about sense gratification. So if it's just I've given it up because it's troubled, then that's motor passion. So motor passion will come back around and bite you. Goodness doesn't bite, right? It keeps you in the material world in a good position. So only pure goodness is the perfection. Right, so, so that means then we have to look at brahmacharya. Do I have an interest in marriage? Is there something there that I would like to be involved in or not? But in any case, whether you are or not, you'd be a good brahmachari for X amount of time. So this many years, I'm a good brahmachari, and then after getting that training, then I could go into grihastha life. And then after going through whatever amount of years it is that is standard, then you review and go, okay, so do I want to continue this way or do I want to get married? You know, and if you say, no, I want to continue, then that's the nice thing of brahmacharya. And he decides, no, now it's time to get married. I'm trained. And so I will be able to function properly in grihastha ashram. So that's the upakurvana brahmacharya. So in the Vedic system, brahmacharya is one thing. It's that at the point of where you would naturally be finished with the standard course of education as a brahmachari, you continue that. That's called a naistika brahmachari. And you graduate and then get married. That's called a nirvana. This idea that the day you join, now you're a naistika. No, you have to be trained first. Naistika means he understands I don't need to be married. I realize what's to be gained from vanaprastha, from grihastha life. While the upakurvana, he understands what's to be gained, but he hasn't realized it. So by going through it, he realizes. Like that. Vanaprastha means now you're older, the kids are there, it says, you know, there's no need to now, you know, develop an empire, you just maintain yourself, now let the kids move forward and everything. That's vanaprastha. Sannyas means I don't need to be involved in anything in this world. Right. So, like that, then you can try to understand the situation. So, okay. So, are there any questions on this?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we receive around 6 questions on chat. So shall I read one for you?
Yeah. Read the first one and then just one after another. Read the first one.
Maharaj, the first question goes like this. I am grateful to my superiors for their sacrifices in bringing me to my current stage of Krishna consciousness and continuing to inspire me by their Krishna conscious practice. In last 1 year, I underwent certain loss of faith or trust upon few superiors after observing some of their behaviors and hearing their lopsided explanations of Krishna consciousness. After hearing my spiritual masters and your lectures closely, I felt clarity and hope, and I am consciously trying to focus on Krishna connection and not indulge in fault finding. Yet I fear of not having immediate superior who can recognize or encourage my Krishna conscious endeavors and correct as necessary. Please address my situation on what is necessary. Is deriving inspiration from physically distant Siksha Guru sufficient for personal growth in Krishna conscious Brahmachari Ashram life?
Okay. So the point is that Krishna consciousness means that you're taking in learning something. Then you have the different stages. You have Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. So Shravana means you hear, you remove doubts, so that there's a clarity, right? It's clear what to do. Then you have the next stage is Manana, where now you contemplate what is there, and contemplating what is there, then you, you try to apply it. And by applying it, then you'll see you gain understanding, right? The first one, you gain some clarity, which means removal of doubt. The second stage, you gain understanding. Now, by a continuation of I perform the activity, I contemplate it, I see how to better do it, I do it again, that understanding develops to the point where it becomes of value, and then it becomes Nididhyasana. Now, you will act according to that, no matter what the situation. So the point is it's this being cleared of doubts and this contemplation that is the dynamic element. Now, by the association of Vaishnavas, then you enhance that by them pointing out this, that, and that helps. But the point is it's not just on them. It means you, it's self-realization. So you yourself have to take part in this process. And so it's sent that you have to be focused on it. Others can assist you. Like Srila Prabhupada said, is that the flying of the plane, you can do that, but you get trained, but you have to fly it yourself. The person on the ground can't fly it for you. You have to do it yourself. They can give you advice. So now we have Prabhupada's books, we have lectures that we've heard, we have different senior Vaishnavas. And so in one sense, we have enough that we can work with. And so we can personally develop from that, and the local authorities can see that we're engaged in service. You know, someone does this, someone does that activity, you know, someone does, you know, whatever it is, you know, assigned to this and that. And so technically it could go on very nicely this way. Now, if you have locally people who you inspire you so that you're able to, you know, keep focused, more regularly, then that's even better. But the point is that the system works by some instruction that has been gained, and Prabhupada's books we can read on a daily basis. We're not just reading to get through the chapter or stuff. We're trying to understand what's going on like that. So that's the whole point, is you read at the speed you understand. You know, if you need, reread things. And so how does that apply in my life? How does it make the understanding? Then one can function. That's one aspect. The other aspect is the swan aspect. The swan takes the milk, leaves the water. Right, they're mixed together, but it takes that. So what is the good thing about them? They're dedicated to the service. They've been there for the last 20 years or 30 years or whatever it is. You know, let's say they do something nice. They chant nicely. So just take that. Be inspired by that. Don't look at everything else. This idea that each person we're supposed to gain all aspects of Krishna consciousness from will only frustrate ourselves. No, like a swan, you take one thing from one place. You know, okay, the guy is not great at one thing, but that doesn't mean that he's not good in the other. Like sometimes you have somebody who's a really good manager, but not necessarily so good in the sadhana. Or you have somebody who's really good in the sadhana, but, you know, they can't manage their way out of a wet paper bag. You know, so you're going to have all kinds of interesting things. There's someone's really good in one thing, but in another, he's like, he does fabulous kirtan, but then there's some other weakness. So if we just look for the weakness, then it'll be a problem. So that's why the example is given of the swan. Because if you want to be the crow and look for garbage, hey, go for it. You know, plenty of garbage. Like that, you know? But, you know, but if you want to actually advance, it's about seeing what's good. Otherwise, what about ourselves? Why do we advance in Krishna consciousness? Because Krishna sees the intent. If he actually looked at what we technically do, would we advance much? No, because Krishna is one who just sees that intent to try to please him, even though we're not doing a great job. He sees that, so he's happy. He's satisfied. Does that make sense? So that's the principle is there. You know, it's like, yeah. But finding fault, that anyone can do. It's just like, you know, I don't know if you have rickshawwalas outside the front, you know, front of your temple and stuff like that. But you could probably go out there and, you know, you could go out there, let's say, you know, you're a journalist and all that, you come to interview. You could go out there and ask all those taxiwalas and rickshawwalas and that, you know, what do you think of ISKCON? What about this, that? And they can tell you a million things like that. But is that actually the angle? No, it's that they're trying to dedicate their lives to Krishna. And they may be strong in an area or weak in an area. So where they're strong, take that. Weak, you come from the material world. Of course, you're like that. That's like the person's in the shower. We're complaining, oh, he's got some dirt on his back. Oh, he's wet. He's in the shower. What do you want? Right? Like that. So, yes, does that work for your question?
Can you have the second question, Maharaj?
Yes, please.
When our both conditioned and spiritual nature is present, how one can act spiritually at a given moment?
Yugalasham Prabhu, I can add one question to the first
yes,
one.
Yes, please.
Maharaj, Dandatana Maharaj, I'm Dr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maharaj, one of the first aspects of the first question the devotee asked you is about there were three, four very senior devotees in our ashram who have moved to the next order now. They have gone to the Grihastha ashram. So right. Some of the counselees feel a bit loss of shelter of those devotees because they got a lot of love and care and personal attention from them. Now they have moved to the next ashram. So now they feel a little bit disoriented. So therefore he was asking that some of them derive a lot of inspiration from your lectures. So how can those who have been receiving shelter for over a decade from somebody, suddenly if they feel loss of shelter, how do they become stable? That also is a part of the first question, Maharaj.
Okay, yeah. No, good point. Okay, so in this, one is that, is it, we have to look at some aspects. Now that this person has given us shelter for this 10 years and personally gotten involved in our life and live in the same lifestyle in the same space and all that, that's a very nice thing. So we should take that as an addition, right? Okay, let's say we have 100 years of our life. So 10% of our life, you know, they've given and we've got the benefit of, right? So now that is a benefit. That's not a right. So the point is they have their life, you have your life. So in their training as brahmacharya and all that, as an upakurvana brahmachari, then they've, you know, put in the time to help others. So they were advanced. So because the fourth stage from nididhyasana is now you teach others and make them like yourself, right? So they've done that for you for 10 years. That means, you know, they're not just 10 years in the movement. There's been so many years before that they were training to come to that point where they could train others. And they benefited you. That is a benefit. That's mercy. That's not, oh, it's my right. Unless they're there, then, you know, this is all nonsense. We have to understand we're not the center of attention. And so the whole point is that they benefited us. And so therefore, we should be happy for that. You know, it means your grandfather dies and now everything he did, oh, you have to throw it all out. You know, he left me, you know, this and that, you know, what is this? You know, there's no gratitude for things done. You know, we're not the center of attention. That's the difficulty with this modern contemporary social structure that's going on now. is that it's all about myself. It's all self-centered about, you know, what's good for me and this and that. And I showing off, hey, I ate this today. And then the other, oh, wow, that's fabulous. And they show it. You know, it's all about yourself. It's not about that. It's not actually sharing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. They get into this. That it's my right that somebody's going to be there and do everything that I should do, even though I don't always do it. You know, whenever I feel like it or can, I do it. But they should always 100% be there. Then I'll be inspired because I'm so fabulous because I'm the center of the universe. So they have to be able to be grateful. That was so nice that he spent 10 years of his life doing that. And then when it came to the point where he felt he was trained enough, now he could function properly as a grihastha. Now he moved on. Others would have just been in the ashram 2 or 3 years and become a grihastha. This guy put in 20 years and being at Upavana. Then we got trained. We got some benefit. Look at the nice side of it rather than, oh, I'm lost. I'm here now. You know, no one's there to tuck me into bed at night and pat me on the head. You know, it's like kind of like, you know, you're a brahmachari. Get it together. You know? So the point is that we had that. That's fabulous. That's the point of Vaishnav Seva. That person is still there. You have something to ask him. I'm sure you can still go ask him if you want it. Right? You know, you'd have to work it into a schedule when he can be around the temple. He's not just right there at any time whenever you feel like it. You might have to make it. But I'm sure that they're coming around. You'd be able to sit down if you really have that. You could do that. And they won't have the problem. The other thing is that this thing of that, you know, you're a brahmachari or nothing. You know, it's either 100% or zero, right? So that's also a problem because if they're brahmachari, then it's good. And if they're grihastha, then they're in maya. No, it's the next stage. So for those who don't need to be married, then they just stay brahmachari like Narad Muni. You know, and that's great. But if they move on to, it's a step forward. It's not a step backwards. So that's the whole point is that brahmacharyas, everyone in the Vedic system goes through that training. And they've gone through it. Now, like we said, you have the realization, you go and you move this way. You have the understanding, you move that way. You know, and if you have the facilities, it's like, it's not that the guy graduates if he has no money, no facility, no family, no nothing. No, then he just stays brahmachary. Right? You know? So, this whole idea that people get married, it's fine. What's the problem if they get married? This whole thing, oh no, but if they're a brahmachari, then I can ask questions. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? You know? Like that. So we set our own standards, and then we get upset when people break our standards rather than the Vedic. In the Vedic standard, a huge amount of the population that goes through brahmacharya gets married. Right, and grihastha is considered the central feature of the varnashram system. Right, the sannyasis may be the head and leading it, but the central feature is grihastha because from grihasthas come brahmacharis. From grihasthas get vanaprasthas and sannyasis. Grihasthas are the Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. So no grihasthas, no varnashram. And it's okay if you can live on top in loka. You know, if you have that qualification, but that we know it's part of the Satoka system, so that means zero, you know, interest in karma. I mean, like zero, I mean, like nothing. You know, so therefore then it's, they're the one that brings all the money. Like we're sitting in a nice temple now there, right? And where did that come from? His pocket? No, from grihasthas. So the whole point is, grihastha is the center of the whole thing. So it's not a problem if someone goes and becomes a grihastha. They just add to the whole overall thing that you get the benefit as a brahmachari. They'll be the future vanaprasthas and sannyasi. They'll produce the next generation of brahmacharis. So we have to also understand is that, you know, that's the way it is. And to understand this doesn't mean that, oh, okay, well, then I'm interested in grihastha, so I'll leave now. No, unless you're trained, why leave? Unless you're trained, unless you come to the platform, you're stable in brahmachari, you won't be good in grihastha life. It's that way. Ladies don't like people, like I said, that aren't respectful, don't understand what's the proper authority, can't control their senses, don't have a service attitude, don't work, don't know how to dress. They don't like them. This is just lock, stock, and barrel. They might tolerate, but they don't like. You know, and by the modern way of dealing, then they don't even tolerate. You know, so one has to understand that everybody's an individual, and everybody's trying to do what they can. I mean, look at it. Are we inspired by the Bhagavad Gita? Okay, Krishna was a Grihastha, Arjuna was a Grihastha. What about the Mahabharata? The poems are Grihasthas. Ramayana, another Grihastha. Seems there's a conspiracy going on here. You understand? So the whole point is that if there's the proper Krishna conscious example, what's the problem? They've been in brahmachari for so long. Now they're getting married after vitra. What's the problem? That's good. The guy who won't join the ashram because he doesn't want to be controlled, now that's a bad example. Right? So that's the whole thing. So yes, they get married. They move on. Yeah. Live with it. Grow up.
Yes, please. They have no issues about them getting married and settled. They have no issues about it. They worry about their personal life, about which you said very nicely that they have received so much and they should be grateful and go on. You said that. Because people generally take role models and they want the role models to be with them till last breath.
Yes, but the point is Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra a role model for us?
Yeah.
What about Prahlad Maharaj? Yes. You know, like that. They're role models. They don't have to be present. If they're present, even better. But if they're not, you can still go on with your life.
Yeah.
That's the whole point is take that responsibility. You don't have to be spoon-fed.
Yeah.
Someone's there, then if you actually have that sincere faith, someone else will come along.
Yeah.
You know, or you might be the one who does that for others, and that way from the other side you appreciate.
Yeah. And we also find a similar situation when they have to shift their faith from one senior to another senior. When that
so why do they have to shift the faith? The one day is you're adding it.
Adding, okay, yeah.
It's adding. It's just like, okay, there's a chapati on the plate, so now there's some dal, so I have to, you know, throw the chapati, then I can eat the dal. But now if I eat the subject, I got to throw the dal, and now it's like that. Is that how it works? You have chapati, then you add, you stick it in the dal. You can stick it in the sabji and the dal. And I can even take some achar with that. You know, it's just like, it just expands.
Yeah, yes, Maharaj.
Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Perfect, Maharaj.
Okay, okay. Very good. Very
Maharaj,
good.
Can a brahmachari in the ashram take inspiration from a grihastha who has moved to the next order from the brahmachari ashram?
Why not? Because we're looking at devotional. Means, in other words, detail.
If you not gel with their order, they feel sometimes, then I will also be inspired to become Grihastha like them. They feel like that.
But is Grihastha the external form? Or is Grihastha a mentality of, I still have material desire, I'm trying to engage that in Krishna's service, and by engaging it, I'm purifying it, until the point is I can give up that attachment. You know, I might still have the duties, like Yudhishthira doesn't have attachment, but he performs the duties of the Grihastha.
Yeah.
Right. So the point is that what is it got to do with? It means you have to see it there. Arjuna is as a kshatriya, he's applying his duties on the battlefield. So does that mean now the brahmacharis go out and get themselves a sword and all that, and then you know got no? I mean, they can take the sword out in the garden and cut the lawn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, Maharaj.
So that aspect is there. Yeah, you know. But the point is you're able to see that connection. So that they're still dedicated in Krishna consciousness, doing all that despite all the different things. Just say how much easier it is. Brahmachari doesn't have all the things. They get up in the morning. They don't have yelling and screaming kids or have to take them to the dentist or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're able to see what's a benefit. And then you look around at those brahmacharis and that are in the ashram on how they're focusing on devotional service. Because we may have focused on that senior man and ignored everybody else. Like that. Right? So then you have to be able to see is how they're also doing nice service. They're there. They're getting up in the morning. They're chanting their japa. They're cleaning. They're doing their preaching in the service. So you have to see that.
Yes, Maya.
Is that all right?
Yogesh Prabhu, continue your questions. Yeah, thank you. Very nice, Maharaj. Thank you.
Maharaj, next question is, what our both condition and spiritual nature is present? Sorry, when our both condition and spiritual nature is present, how one can act spiritually at a given moment?
Because the point is spiritual means doing something for Krishna. So our conditioned nature is there, and that's, of course, material. It's made out of material elements. But we're using it in Krishna's service, right? So when we take the Artik lamp and use it in the Artik for Krishna, it's spiritual, right? But when we clean the lamp, we clean it according to what it is. It's brass, we clean it according to how you clean brass. So that's the whole point, is that we're engaging our conditioning in Krishna's service. So there's not a problem in them going together, because we have to remember is that the conditioned nature, it's made out of Krishna's elements. Therefore, there's the laws of these elements. We can follow those laws and use it in Krishna's service. So at any time, we can engage in Krishna's service. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, next question. We are guiding many boys to get married to devotee girls. Only but seeing divorce rate increase amongst devotees, they have developed aversion to marry devotee girls. We have serious issue in congregation. Can you please elaborate on this?
The whole point is that they act as a rat bag and the girl divorces them. It doesn't matter if they're a devotee or not a devotee. The point is you don't act properly, then ladies don't do well. Point is, we're saying the women follow the men. That means the man has to be going somewhere. So this idea, if I marry a karmi guru, it'll be better. She'll be more submissive. How is that going to work? I mean, have you been keeping up? Have you not seen any of the Bollywood posters and all that? How are these girls? You know, and the karmis, they follow those girls. So how is that going to be better? All it is that they're frustrated with their own position and want to blame it on someone else. Marriage doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? You know, how doesn't it work? Why aren't you? How are you? Means I mentioned these 6 points in there, you know, so that means then you need a whole, you know, how to be grihasta discussion. But the point is that it's not the girl's fault, right? Girls can get distracted easy, but the point is that's what the boy is there. He's supposed to keep everything on track. He doesn't keep it on track, then it won't work. He goes out, just makes his money, thinks because he makes his money, then that's good enough. No, he has to put in the effort. See, the main difficulty comes up is this aspect. Boys, they're in the house, right? Their mom takes care of them. They are the center of attention. And so then they grow up like that. And so they think that the relationship between women and men is that the women just take care of the men like your mom does. But you have to understand is the mom only takes care of the son like that. She doesn't take care of the husband like that. Why? We can say is why can't they? Because the mother is in the masculine position. She's adjusting everything to take care of the nature of the son who's in the feminine position. So how the son is acting, that's how she interacts. So now when we get older and we get married, now the husband's in the masculine position, the wife's in the feminine position. That means it's all about the wife. The wife is the center of attention for the dealings and how you do and what discussions, and what you eat, where you go, and what you wear, and what you do. That's the way it works. That's the difference between masculine and feminine. Masculine means he can adjust for the feminine. Feminine means they can't. So now what happens is the boy is in the illusion that, no, my wife should act like my mom and make me the center of attention. So now what do you have? You have two women living in the same house. One is a woman and one thinks he's a woman. Like JoJo, right? And so then this is a problem. If you have two women in under one roof, there's going to be fight. And because of that fight, there's divorce. So what to do? So unless the boys understand and stop making it about themselves as the center, That's why unless they have that humble, submissive service attitude as a brahmachari, they'll never be a good grihastha. You could say, no, no, but it should be like this. But that's what all men say when they're down at the pub drinking their beer. Yeah, you should show her who's boss and, you know, yeah, you know, all this. And how does that work out? The karmi's at 75% divorce rate. So devotees, it'll be, if they follow the same culture and same values, then of course it's going to fall apart. What do you expect? But if you follow the Vaishnava values and all that, then that, and that, you know, humility, tolerance, respecting others, not looking for respect for yourself, try using that principle and always be absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. That, use that. And nadanam najanam nasundarim. Try that in grihastha life. Then you'll see it works like a charm. Because women aren't, by nature, aren't detached. So if you're detached, but interactive and caring, you know, and empathetic, that impresses them because they're only because they're attached, they work. Here's someone who's not attached and they're working and interacting with them. That keeps them busy their whole life following that person. But as soon as you're the center of attention, they're already the center of attention and they're 10 times better at it. So why do they have to hang out with this loser? Yes. Okay. Now our time is up. And so then tomorrow we can continue with the questions that you have because, you know, we gave the discussion today, the points, and then tomorrow we can continue with continue with the question. We got through, what, two questions or three questions, then we just continue with that. Any more devotees have?
Okay. Yes, Maharaj, have more questions. We have more questions at our list.
And yes, generally, so you just continue that tomorrow.
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Danita.
Hare Krishna, so we'd like to heartily thank His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Swami Maharaj for gracing us and giving us deep wisdom by three times loudly chanting, Ribol! 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 Tomorrow we have His time again at 8 o'clock.